complicated cosmos attempt here to kind of sum it up, what's remaining here to complete the book. We should put the dream appendix in there. It's a work. I've got nothing else to do. On the model or exhibition proposals. Hello. Anyway, let's just gather some thoughts here. What remains? What do I actually want to say more on that? Well, I need to really work on the red thread and really establish that virtual world idea all the way through and get it to work. And then once that is done, then I could have this magic world thing. I should have had that. I think it can be good, not make such a big case of it, but the idea that we really need a new worldview, and that this is a one that, as I said, it not only explains mystical ideas about ancient cosmos or quantum cosmos or simulated reality, all of those, that seem well, that then seemed as pieces of a puzzle that all of a sudden starts to show to make sense, and our enigmatic model of the cosmos, our image that we're working on here, can also be understood and make sense too, doesn't it? And then we make a drawing there which really shows that consciousness, even the virtual understanding of it, tie those together very nicely. Get all the dream stuff in there and clearly draw that parallel, or turn that dream metaphor into a virtual reality metaphor. Requiring some more work there, but it's a good work. Is there anything else? Yeah, as I said, the proposal for the planetarium exhibition, but which I can then kind of create there for my own. I can make drawings. That is to kind of emerge there, grow as a flower bud from my simple pencil drawing. Yeah, and then I will continue working that out on virtualcosmos.se, where I can actually build that 3D model and even build my own planetarium in there that you can walk around in. Well, not a bad idea. Then I will keep my promise or intention to build the virtual cosmos, maybe even a 3D printed one. So, and that will, even if the red thread is a little thin here and there, it should then be clearly there at that point. So, well, I mean, I don't think I need much more than that. Now this messy, those little chapters there, drafty ones, should I separate them into two or shorten it down into one, which then is about how, when we accept this magical cosmos, in other words, we don't have it in our grips by far, with this modern science. But here we have a cosmology where it all starts to fit. Again, putting the pieces of puzzle together. And again, I mean, the evolution thing there, yes, we can add that bashing of evolution theory into that section about evolution, that it has problems, that theory, you can hardly even start to explain theoretically how one species can develop into another, evolve. But here, look, we got the solution here. It's a spiritual evolution of consciousness. So for devotees, that chapter would basically just list the basic points that we preach about. The knowledge of the Gita and the Bhagavatam, reincarnation, not the body, and so on. And then I don't know if we need to address the flat earthers and all of those further than we have done. Astronomy. Well, I wanted to, and I think I started doing it. Yeah, I did. Write more. Clear that thing out about why do we have this physical astronomy, stars and planets and all that. There in the Bhagavatam. And as it seems then, aligned with the more metaphysical level of it. But then the way to solve that could be two. Well, one of them that yes, humans use the star sky and nature to embed stories in. You find the cosmos embedded in the architecture of temples and churches. You find it written in the stars, the images with the stories, and Bhagavatam connects that to this higher cosmological view and understanding. And the secondary is that we are indeed this cosmic model we are looking at here. We should really show that. It's not, which someone raised in the physicalist tradition may interpret it as habitually, routinely, without even thinking about it, to be understood spatially. Here it is. This is where this cosmic model, where it is that this picture shows. Look up there. But rather, it is much more sophisticated, because this model as we have said many times here can be applied macro and microcosmically. And of course that's what we find both in the Vedic teachings, that God is smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. And in the Hermes, hermeneutic teachings, what is up there is also down in the smallest. We find the planets and all of that in our bodies. So it's as if the entire cosmos here, entire existence, is built on a basic cosmic algorithm. Or geometry, if you want. Again, you got the central axis, you got the rotation there, and so on and so forth, up and down. And you find it in our body, in our Earth, which rotates. And so on. It also in the higher worlds, all the way up, so to speak. So we've got to get that one also clear. Really, really paint that cosmos there very clearly and convincingly. And I think that's it. I mean, that's the purpose of this book, isn't it? Here we have a cosmos, the one that we actually live in. Nothing strange, actually. And we're really just talking about seeing it the way it is, as far as we can see with our physical eyes, but also that then the shamans and yogis, and so can we, explore by not by traveling in space out there in the physical, but also the space beyond the physical. So yeah, I think that's about it, right? Thank you.